And I'd like to give God thanks for whatever it is that you have a testimony in. Let someone know. You can let me know, Brother Josh, Brother Troy, Brother Sean. Just let somebody know. That way we know who's giving a testimony for the Sunday evening. And if we have to, we're only going to do, just a few every evening because we got other things that we're going to be doing. And then even on Sunday morning if we need to, so we can give everybody a chance to give glory and honor to God and be an encouragement to everyone else. So just let us know when you have one. We're going to give up other opportunities for people to take some time and take part in that. But how many know we serve an incredible God? He's good to us, and we ought to want to give him praise and honor. We ought to want to lift him up and give him thanks. And this is important about what God wants to establish in our life. And so with a couple of things that we want to take care of, we want to make sure everybody knows what's going on. And then last thing I'd like to do is I'm going to give an encouragement to the church and the word. And then we're going to pray over our trip, have everybody come up. I'm going to ask Brother Troy. He's going to come and he's going to lay hands on us and anoint us and send us forth to do the work of the Lord. But right now, Sister Marlena, come explain to him about this way to stay in touch with us. So everybody get your notepad out. This is a way for everybody to stay in touch with us.
Good evening. So I know most of you have a smartphone of some type, variety, Android, whatever. So what you need to do is you need to download the app Viber. It's V-I-B-E-R. And it's very simple. It's free. You just download it. It's Viber. Okay. It should be some kind of purple icon usually. It's very simple. You'll put your number in and then it'll give you a PIN. And you put your number and you put the PIN in, and it'll give you everybody on your contact list that also has that app. So if you don't have Pastor and Pastor Charlotte's number, you need to put that into your contact list so that it'll automatically recognize. So all you got to do is download the app Viber, V-I-B-E-R, and then it'll ask you for your phone number. You put in your phone number, and then it'll give you a PIN number, and you put the PIN in, and you're on. And you can see everybody else that has it in your contact list. It'll automatically tell you. And so that's the way you're going to communicate with them. Text messages, they'll be able to get it over Wi-Fi. If they don't answer, that means they're not in a Wi-Fi area if you call them. So if you want to encourage them and send them a text message, just remember it's probably about a 12-hour difference. So if you're like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that's a little rough for them because that's 2 a.m. So, you know, try to do it. And you know the extreme, so do it early in the morning or late at night because then they'll be probably up and awake and it won't be so bad. Also, we have a special little something that has nothing to do with Pastor leaving, but we had challenged our teens to read as many chapters as Proverbs as they can, and we did a battle of the sexes, so we had our boys versus our girls, and our girls killed it. I think Mariana by herself had more than half of what the boys had. Sorry, guys. So my girls, I need Mariana, Lily, and Kim to come up and get your reward, which is their favorite candies. Share. They're very. Come back up here and show them what it says so everybody can see it. Yeah, come down. Go ahead.
You want to see?
You know, the reason why I picked Proverbs is because it was the start of the school season, and I remembered how much Proverbs helped me after Hurricane Katrina because, you know, I'm a fifth generation commercial fisherman. And after Katrina, I was working around 100 guys, and I really didn't know how to deal with them or socialize with them. And, you know, and that's what I told them. It really helps you in everyday life. Your activities in life, it helps you. And that's the reason why I wanted them to read Proverbs, because I knew it would help them in school to socialize. And, yep.
I read 17. I love the whole book.
The whole book? How many you read, Lily?
10.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, praise God. So don't forget, get your Viber. Please post the time difference. Give them the window. It's going to be posted just because we will be sleeping when you're awake. Okay. And our phones will ding because where we're staying, most of the time we'll have Wi-Fi access. So make sure you take into consideration. I'm glad you mentioned that because that could be a big deal. It's a big difference in the time, 12-hour difference. So make sure but get the Viber because it's free. We can text message and talk on the phone for free at no charge, and I will be away over there. And that's the only way we can do it without having to pay a huge international plan while we're there. So if you have a smartphone, you want to do that, that'll be great. We'd love to be able to send information. We're gonna make sure that we do send that information. We have it designated to send it to Sister Marlena, most of the things that we're going to be sending, because they're going to be able to have it to get ready to post it, especially if we send pictures and stuff like that. But we do welcome your communication, your encouragement, and we will respond as promptly as we can once we get that. So keep that in mind. We're going to, as I said earlier, we're going to pray right before we dismiss, and we're going to be ready to go. We're feeling this very strongly, that God will, there'll be a release, there'll be an anointing like anything we've ever experienced. We want to walk in the newness of God and what God has established for us. But I want to encourage you concerning what we've been dealing with as far as the fall feast. And I want to tell everybody here that I'm proud of everyone and for your participating and your willingness to open up your heart to the Word of God and to understand the things of God. Sometimes we don't realize the impact that we're having on somebody's life, but I want to tell you, you're impacting people. You really are. And so you need to know that you're the life that you're living, the life that you're standing. I see the impact. I see people. I'm watching people grow in God. I'm watching them really find their spot in God. And that's important. And I believe it has to do with us reestablishing the truth of God's word. So we're lining up more biblically sound with the things of God. And so we're going to continue in that. We're going to continue in the teaching, and we'll be preparing our hearts. So next year, we're going to be that much more advanced in understanding these principles, and we'll have a lot more time to prepare to get ready for it. There'll be a lot more time. And so we're going to make it a big deal, and we should make it a big deal. And I think that God will be honored by the fact that we do that. So once Sukkot comes to a close, which you'll finish on your own, you still have to finish up the 7 days, and then the 8th day, continue to stay in that, working that out. We was able to give you some of the understanding in it. Obviously, we couldn't get to all of it, and maybe I can cover a few more things here in just a moment to get you ready just to be into that that sort of that mindset of making sure that you finishing out this individually as families. So this is a time you can go and visit other families during this 7 days, a time that you can get your own family together and have a meal together. That's what you would do on Thanksgiving, right? So on Thanksgiving, you invite the family over, they come eat with you. Any type of holiday that you invited people over, then this is what you do at this time. So I know we had short notice on it, but you still maybe can line something up for the remainder of the rest of the days. But spend some time together. Share your testimony. Be an encouragement to somebody and watch the hand of God just move mightily in what you're willing to step out by faith and allow the glory of God and the anointing of God to be just be a light in your life. That's important. So these are things that I think the Lord really wants us to grab hold and understand. But let me go ahead and give you just a couple of more things concerning this, and then we'll go from there. Then we'll pray. Now, last I left off, I was on, I read real briefly the Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 2. I read that, and I'm going to just give you just a couple of more. This will help you going through the rest of this as much as I can give you until, and I think what we'll do periodically, especially when we're coming around those seasons again, I'll start much earlier laying out. It's because it takes time. There's so much to the feast days and what we can learn. And I want you to be very informed about this. But let me give you some of the things that are descriptive of what is going on. So that'll be slide 21. Slide 21, Mark 9, verse 2 is where that's the last thing I read to you on the last time we was here looking at this. I want to just read this to you again to show you some of these things, and I'll lay out the rest of these slides for you, what I have, and by no means is this finishing it, but at least gives you more information. Mark 9, verse 2 says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? It is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles.'" The sukkah is what he was referring to. "Let us make three of those, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." So again, reason I pointed that out is what we think when we read the scripture. When we read that automatically now, we're going to think, when we see three tabernacles, we're going to think about the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to think about that because that's why he makes the reference. Peter makes the reference based upon his understanding of what he was participating in. Now, the reason I point that out is because many people say, well, after the New Testament. Remember, we dealt with that a little bit this morning. They'll say after the New Testament. When you say that, what's the reference? When you say New Testament, what your reference is we're not under the old anymore. This is new. But if you talk about it being renewed, there's a big difference. Because all we're doing is renewing the original. How many understood that this morning? That's important. Believe me, it's very important to understand that we grab hold to that. And I want you to keep that in mind because it's important. Let me tell you this. Jesus has died and he's resurrected, and then he begins to reveal himself to different ones. There's a story in the scripture that talks about those who disciples were all together, and all of a sudden they just, you know, they was during the time of a feast, right? Because we have, well, if he's resurrected and it's during the time of that, that feast. What's the feast that we're talking about? If it's the resurrection, what's the feast we're talking about? It won't be the fall feast because it's the resurrection. So what feast would it be? First fruits. Remember that. First fruits, that's the resurrection. So Jesus is resurrected. All the disciples are together there and hiding, literally in hiding, because their rabbis died. And they don't know. Some of them know that the grave is empty, but some of them are not believing. They're discouraged. They don't know what to think. And so two of them, they leave from the gathering and they're finished. Now, this is during the feast. They leave and they're on the road to Emmaus. Anybody remember that story? On the road, two of them's on the road. And while they're walking and they're talking, and they're discouraged, and they're leaving. It's over. Now, listen, you don't leave the feast time unless you're finished, unless you've given up, unless you've quit. So they left the feast, and they're on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden, while they're walking, Jesus joins them. Now, they don't know it's Jesus, because what's the difference in his look? He's in a glorified body. He's got a different look about him, and they're not noticing this change. So he's talking to them, and they're finding out what's going on. Well, they're discouraged. They spill it out to him. What I feel and the way they feel. Now, they're leaving from the feast, and they're going away, and he's walking with them. And then he begins to expound on the things of Torah. That's what he expounds on, the things of the Torah. He begins to share with them. And the more he shares, the more their eyes start to open. It'll open more and more and more. And then they arrive at where they're going. And it would appear that Jesus is going to keep going. And they say, please stay with us. So he turns in with them. And then they break the bread. It's absolutely incredible. And all of a sudden, they realize it's him. Wow. Everything he said is true. Everything he told us, he brought to pass. Do you think it might have changed them? You think it would have brought encouragement to them? They quit. And he brought them right back in simply because he was willing to walk side by side with them. Listen, through whatever you go through, you got to remember he's always faithful to show up in the situation. And what is he going to expound? He might not want to talk about your problem. Yeah, you and I might want to talk about it, but what he's probably going to talk about is Torah. He's going to go back to the thing that is established, what works, the thing that sets people free is the truth. And that's what he did. He revealed the truth. So he expounded in the Torah. He brought the scripture to them, and it began to change their life. So keep that in mind, because that's an important principle, and it actually goes with Sukkot a lot deeper detail, and that may be something we can look at a much later time. It's a miracle. The miracle is the sheltering presence of God, not the booth themselves. The sukkah, therefore, functions as a sign that God loves us, that he delights in our well-being, and that he tenderly protects us from hardship. Were it not for God's constant care, we would perish in the wilderness of the world. We would perish in the wilderness of the world. So it's a reminder that God tenderly takes care of us. And that's what we should be remembering, that God is taking care of us. And so if here's the thing. Every time we do celebrate a holiday, and if it's a pagan holiday, no matter what, even if we didn't know it was pagan, you find out to be, doesn't matter, you still got in the atmosphere or the spirit of that holiday. You just do. Whatever spirit it is, whether it's good or bad, you get in it. And it's at that time of the year. And so what we have to remember is there's also an atmosphere and a spirit when it comes to God's appointed times, and we need to know what's our posture, what we're supposed to be doing when we celebrate Sukkot. We got to know that. And so we got to understand it's a miracle. He tenderly takes care of us. And we didn't know how to figure it out, but he comes through for us every time. How many can look back on some times where it was difficult and you thought at that time, I don't know how I'm going to even get through this. I don't even know how my mind can process all this. But you look back at it now and you go, man, God is good. I didn't even realize how much he was tending to me, but he tenderly took care of me at that time. Could you imagine if God would have took a step away from us at that time, we'd have lost our mind. But he didn't. He tenderly took care of us. Even when we faltered or failed, he still watched over us. Listen, let me tell you something. They were building golden calves, and they were celebrating around these calves, and then God still showed up for them, still protected them and watched over them. He didn't have to. They broke covenant, but he graced them. And we have to understand that's why we celebrate. So that's what sets you in that atmosphere, because you realize what God has done. He took care of them in the wilderness. They didn't have anything. There were no gardens. They didn't plant. They were nowhere to plant. They didn't plant grain. They didn't wait for a harvest. And they were in there 40 years. So how'd they eat? He gave them manna. Did they have a house to live in? No, they had a shelter. That's where we get in the celebration. They had a shelter. Well, God says, yeah, you live in a shelter. I'm just going to live up here in heaven. He didn't do that. He said, make a tabernacle. Gather the stuff. I'm giving you 5 days of grace to get it all together. See, everything at every dot glows, it draws the picture. And then what does God do once the tabernacle's finished? The presence of God comes and dwells in that place. It was almost like the whole tabernacle was burning with fire. There were times when they got to the tent door, they couldn't go no further. It was so much presence of God in there, they couldn't get in it. And what he would tell them, that when the trumpets would blow, what they had to do? Everyone came to his tent door and he looked toward the tabernacle. You understand, we're not talking about 10 people, we're not talking about 100 people, we're talking about millions. We're dealing with millions of people who have to respond to these things. So, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And how many know the way they had to camp had to be a certain way? Certain tribes had to be in the north, certain in the south, and some in the east and the west. And a tabernacle had to be in the middle. And what was it a picture of? A cross. It was a picture of the cross. If you could look from a satellite shot of when they would camp in the night, you would see the cross everywhere they went. Lead me to the cross. You understand? That's what he's doing. He was saying, this is temporary. I know it's pretty hard right now. You're dwelling in a booth. But it won't be long. I get you to the cross. It's going to change. How many thank God for that? So it's a miracle. Let's see. I think I got a couple more like that. The command, this is the command, Leviticus 23:38, besides the Sabbath of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you gave unto the Lord, also on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days, and on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. So remember, and again, I'm going to deal with the Sabbath stuff at a later time, just because I think it's important that we emphasize the Sabbath, and I maybe could do a whole study just on the Sabbath, so you understand every time we do a feast time that this will be something that we can start designating and making sure we set aside that time, and it'll give us more of a participation in that, and it's important. Verse 40, you shall take on you on the first day, and it's talking about these, and I didn't get a chance to deal with the picture, but and I think I passed it up. I have it somewhere in here. We could do it when we get back. I could deal with the waving of the branches, but let's go to All Israelites, 27, Jeremiah 31:31, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Very important principle there. And this is some of the things that were that's being fulfilled and happening in the lives of you and I on a daily basis. Three times a year. Deuteronomy 16:16, three times a year. In a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which I shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles. So how many see that? So we have three times a year that this had to happen, and this is important for us to understand. Three times, unleavened bread, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles is when they all had to appear before the Lord, and they could not appear before the Lord empty. So this is important to understand, and we can something that we can, again, all of these as a standalone is something that we can speak about whole messages on all of those individual thoughts there. In the millennium, Zechariah 14:16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So now again, this is speaking prophetically in the millennium. Are we going to keep the feast days still? Absolutely. They're going to be reinstituted. They're also going to be reestablished, and everyone is going to have to keep those feast days, and we're going to keep those. Literally, those will be kept in Jerusalem. In the millennium, again, verse 17 says, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the families of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague. And so he's talking about all those things that will come upon them, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Special offering, Deuteronomy 16:17, every man shall give as he is able. See that? Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So what happens is it doesn't eliminate anyone. That means everybody in the camp, doesn't matter what their situation is, he's saying give as you're able. So if the Lord has been blessing you all year and your blessing was an increase to your life, he said at that time of the year, Feast of Tabernacles, you're to give. What are you to give? What you're able to do. That's what he says. So this is important. Again, all of these things are very important to the Lord. How many of you know that we celebrate in other holidays where we gave? I want to ask somebody in here, how many's ever given where it costs you quite a bit? Right? Some folks have been in debt for quite some time to cover that holiday because you felt obligated to do that. But what about God? God don't put you under that restraint. He said, don't get in debt. He said, give as you're able. How many of you know the enemy will put you, he wants you underneath that bondage. You almost feel like you're obligated to it. And you stress over it. Let me tell you, I see people stress over stuff like that. And they go, you know, I don't know what to do. It's coming up. And what should I do? God, no, he don't put that type of restraint on you. He says, give as you're able. That means if there's a family that's poor, they don't have much, and they got to bring something before the Lord, that God's not going to require them. If they only have one lamb and they have a family, he's not going to require them to give the whole lamb. He tells them, he says, give as you're able. So they might take the lamb and fix the lamb for the entire family. They might just give one portion of it. Now, what is God going to do when they had a guy who had 10 lambs? So God says, yeah, if you want to get, he said, yeah, I'm going to give a whole lamb. Is God going to look differently upon the one that gave a piece of lamb or the one that gave a whole lamb? He's not going to look any because they gave as they were able. And God reads the heart. And that's what That's what he's asking of us. Do what you're able to do. And just make sure one thing you can't do is you're not going to trick God on what he thinks is your ability. He knows what your ability is. We just got to line it up with God. And wouldn't it be better for us to do that and do it with an openness and a willing heart rather than for God to, one of the things God doesn't want is to have somebody have to ask you or do something like that. That's nothing that God desires. And that's what I see in the scripture. That's why we teach it the way we teach here, that everybody understands that. So this happens during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. The first Sukkot, Exodus 25:1, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Notice that. So everyone that gives willingly from his heart, that's important. So it's up to you. So you got to decide that. Now, let me tell you, I can tell you one thing, God won't take, he won't take second to nothing. So our willingness to participate in other functions and our willingness to do stretch ourselves is what God's expectation will be from us. But one thing he won't do is he won't encourage you to go put yourself into bondage or in a bond. He won't do that. I just want you to know that if you pushed yourself for other things, you better be ready to stretch yourself when it comes to God, but never go beyond your ability to make sure that you stay within the parameters of what God requests. Does that make sense to everybody? Very important to grab hold to. The finished temple. In 2 Chronicles, he says, now this is very important, 2 Chronicles 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Yahweh was finished. Wherefore, all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, watch what we're about to learn, so, in the feast which was in the seventh month. I mean, see that? Isn't that amazing? Listen, don't think it's strange that Solomon finished the temple. When did he finish it? In the seventh month during the feast time. And so people was able to enter in. So the Feast of Tabernacles. So I believe it was all orchestrated by God. God worked it all out. And the temple was finished during the feast days, ready for the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't that something? Now, how do I know that? Because if I read and I understand what we've been teaching, you understand, if I read the feast, which was in the seventh month, what feast is in the seventh month? Remember, Yom Teruah, it's even though it's a fall feast, it is not the feast celebration like the tabernacle, right? Even though it's considered a feast day, it's not. The focus is not the meal. The focus is hearing the alarm, preparing to get ready to meet the bridegroom. Yom Kippur, the focus is not the meal. The focus is to humble the soul, right? To miss the meal. Which one is all about the meal? Feast of Trumpets or the Feast of Tabernacle or Sukkot, right? All about the meal. So if I'm reading this and I know that, now that you know that, I read this, the feast which was in the seventh month, all of a sudden, again, the feast is the focus. This one's talking about the celebration where people are coming together. And so I got the context. Tabernacle, temple's finished. So now we have a dwelling place. Because what was the word of the Lord? He said, how is it that you have a home, yet I dwell in a tent? What is he sharing with them? He said, well, you know, the progress has happened. You have a house of cedar and all this stuff, yet I'm still in the tent. So what happened was they begin to grow. They've got the land. Things begin to prosper. And the Ark of the Covenant, was in the tent still. He said, when are you going to build me a house? So now he's starting to prepare them for some type of other understanding about we. It becomes more personal. Because a house is something that you'd live in. A tent is a temporary dwelling. See that? Big difference. So does the Holy Ghost want to temporarily dwell with you on Sunday only? No. He doesn't want to do that. So it's more getting prepared for the permanent dwelling where you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that's why we see that happening there. In this particular one, Yeshua is the tabernacle. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. And house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. And so, again, this tabernacle, speaking of this body, and that's what's going to happen. Now, where's our promise? Who's our promise with? Where is it our promise right now? Who holds our very promise in his hand and his words? Where is it? It's in the heavens. It's where God is, where Jesus is, at the right hand of the Father. So that's Paul's indicating that's where it's at. That this earthly house or this tabernacle is dissolved. What does that mean when it says it's dissolved? It means you do what? It means you die. It perishes. When this one's dissolved, we have what? The promise. Immediately. Then we have that tabernacle or that booth. That's going to be the one we have, and it's eternal. So we go, this mortal takes on immortality. So that's what he's talking about. And so all of that is significant when you're talking about the time of Sukkot. Very significant. So I'll just give you these last ones. I believe it's important for us to understand these principles. And there's so much more. I can't even begin to tell you how much more there still is, but time doesn't permit us to cover all of it, especially when I'm going to deal with Sunday and understanding the Sabbath. And we're going to have to deal with that at some point. And that's going to be not easy for a lot of people. Right? Because God never instituted Sunday worship. Yep, that's what we do. He never instituted Sunday worship. That is a pagan concept, Sunday worship. So we're going to have to start following. And I know a lot of people completely against this. When Pastor Joseph says that, then there we know. Here he goes. He's going to start following them. He roots people and all that stuff. And I hear it all. But is either God's word his word or is not? Are we ready to make those adjustments we have to make or not? But you got to think about all the so many things that's going to change, right? But we're going to have to start doing our best. I know that some people that I have a lot of respect for, and they completely say don't get involved in the Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping is now, and I do believe there's a lot of issues when it comes to Sabbath keeping. There's no doubt about it. I believe that, some people say, well, it doesn't matter, make a difference anymore because you're under the new covenant. You can meet with God any day. God is not interested in the day. Well, I don't think that's correct. He is interested in the day because he sets times. So what my thing is I believe for certain, for sure, at least on feast days, we got to honor that. On feast days. Because we consider from a Gregorian type mindset, looking at our calendar, we consider Sunday to be what day of the week? You know, what day? You look at the calendar and what they have Sunday as what? The first day, right? Well, you're supposed to worship on what day? The seventh day. Do you understand? You see how it can be just a little bit over a long period of time gets you way off the mark. God says 6 days, and on the seventh day, I call it a Shabbat. We say, in our Western mind, we have our Shabbat on when? The first day. That's what we do. Anybody ever wondered that besides me? With all this teaching going on, you wonder about it. So we're going to do it. We're going to spend some time looking at that. I have a whole teaching that I'm working on just dealing with Shabbat. That's the whole title. It deals with every scripture, every angle. We'll look at it, and then we'll have to make some decisions. But I believe at minimum on the feast days, because there's more than one Sabbath in a week when God says there is. I mean, understand that. Now, I can tell you, I never kept any of that. You keep the one and you're faithful to it, and I believe God will honor that. No doubt about it. But what about those extra days that he said these got to be high Sabbaths? They're extra. Can you imagine? And that's one of the things I definitely want you to keep, which would be the eighth day. The eighth day, we ought to be sprawled out before God somewhere crying out to the Lord. And not that we have it marked down. So everybody knows it's on the calendar, even though we won't be here. But the eighth day, that's a high Sabbath. According to my understanding of Scripture, it could possibly be the most holy day that God has pinpointed as a appointed time that he'll meet with the people. How many need a miracle in your body? How many need breakthrough in your family? How many need breakthrough in fine? Well, that don't matter. You show up before God on the day that he picked, there ain't no telling what'll happen. I can tell you, me and Pastor Charles, I don't care what we're doing and what our feet is going to be touching on this planet, come the eighth day, we're going to recognize it. Because we're going to make sure of that, because I'm expecting some amazing things from God, and I want the protection of God, and I definitely need the breakthrough, especially in the environment that we're going to be going into. We need breakthrough. We need miracles. We need the power of God to show up. And that'll happen if we'll honor those days that he appointed. Because he said, 7 days you'll keep the feast, the tabernacles, and then the eighth day, he makes sure this is special. I know we got a Shabbat the first day. Remember, we have our first Sabbath. the evening of Saturday, coming into the evening on Sunday. So we covered all that today. So you met with whatever you had your meal starting on Saturday, you had that. And with the evening of that, covering to right now. That this is a holy day to the Lord. But it's not the same as the eighth day. Because he said that day is a high Sabbath. And so make sure we keep that in mind, okay? So this is important. So it's going to be absolutely incredible. So it's a time to understand that you're saying, I'm stepping into something brand new. The eighth day represents that. So this is important for you to keep that in mind, okay? Well, let's all stand. We're going to have y'all come and pray and send us forth to the work of the Lord. And we'll be traveling, our schedule on traveling. I'm going to give it to you real quick. We'll be getting up early in the morning, loading up, and we'll be leaving from our house around 7 in the morning. We'll go to the airport and start prepping to get all this stuff checked in. Our bags will be checked in New Orleans straight to Kathmandu, which is a blessing. I won't have to tote that box after in the morning until I pick it up in Kathmandu. So that is absolutely a blessing. I don't have to go through Chicago Airport with it. We're going to leave out at 11:21 from New Orleans. We'll fly out to Chicago. We'll be O'Hare. We'll fly into O'Hare Airport, and then from there we'll have a 6-hour layover, and we'll go through international, go through customs, go to the international flight. So we're going to get there and get that done. Pastor Dave and Sister Rhonda are going to be running behind us pretty late. They'll be quickly trying to get through. They only have 2 hours to get there, get through international, and get over to us. We'll be already at the gate. Once we get on our flight there, we're going to be flying to Doha. We'll be on Doha Air, flying to 16 hours or so, maybe a little bit more, but we'll be flying 16 hours and landing there in Saudi Arabia. And then once we get there, we will be having a 14-hour layover in Saudi Arabia. So that's something that we've never had to do. But we're going to stay at the airport. We're not going to leave. We're not going to get in a vehicle and go anywhere. We're going to be on the grounds there, staying at a hotel there on the airport. Whatever it is, it's like rooms. They got these rooms you can rent. And so we'll do that. We'll freshen up, change, because normally we don't. Whatever we leave with, when we leave our house, some 50 hours later, we go show up with the same clothes on. Pretty rough. But this time, we're going to have a change of clothes. We have a shower and everything, so that'll be nice. The only thing is we're losing some valuable time to do ministry, and that's something that you just sometimes that's the way it works. We get on a flight the next day from Doha, and we'll be on some 9-hour flight from there to Kathmandu. We arrive too late to be able to go to Nepalgunj, so we have to stay again with Pastor Bim. He'll pick us up with a van at the Kathmandu airport, and we're going to spend the evening with him and get up the next morning, and we'll take another flight from Kathmandu. We'll be in a double prop plane flying to Nepalgunj, which will take us a little over an hour to reach there. Then Pastor KB and them will be at the airport waiting for us to come get all the luggage, and then we'll go in and settle in to the church compound there. And then we'll start. I mean, we're going to be, when I say every day, you trust me, every single day while we're there, because they know we come a long way, they will have our itineraries going to be filled up. We'll be going from town to town, baptism to baptism, and then once we finish our first tour, as it's going to be scheduled, we're going to fly out from Nepalgunj on a double prop plane again up to Jumla, which takes not too long, but a couple of hours flight, and we're going to land in a place called Jumla. This is a new place we've never been. And then we're going to take a jeep ride as far as the road will take us into 12,000. We'll be over 12,000 elevation. And then we're going to walk in the rest of the way. We'll put a backpack on and go in, and then we're going to be in an area that we're going to do ministry. We've been feeling this for the last couple of times we went. The weather when we're in Joomla is going to be a big change. With the nighttime, it'll be 38, 40 degrees. It will be the low. And then the highs will be in the 60s during the day. So it'll be a big change because we're going to be in the high elevations in the mountains. We'll do ministry there. We'll fly back to Nepalganj. We'll stay there a day or so and then fly back to Kathmandu. So in that flight, again, fly from Joomla back to Nepalganj, fly from Nepalganj back to Kathmandu, and then we'll do ministry there for 6 days. For 6 days, we're going to be doing outreach there in the capital. And then when that's done, we'll have a hotel stay at the airport there and then get on a flight and do the reversal. We'll fly back to Doha. The layover is not as long coming back. We don't have to. Then we'll fly back to Chicago, from Chicago back here. So Philadelphia, I'm sorry. We fly to Philadelphia and then here on the way back. So that's the schedule. So we're going to need just the travels alone without the ministry part sounds quite a bit, because you got to make sure you're on point everywhere you go to, you don't miss your flight. So we'll be chugging along, making sure we arrive at all these places. But we want you to be in prayer on the board back there. There's a calendar. We want every day filled for those 21 days starting tomorrow. So somebody, if whoever put your name down for tomorrow, we need you to be fasting and praying starting tomorrow morning. So then you go from morning to morning. That would be your relief. Your next relief comes on the next time. So if you want to know when you start on your day, it starts in the morning. So that morning is when you start. You'll go from morning to morning to morning to morning. Okay? Now, that's one way we can do it. Or if you want to do it, preferably the best thing to do is do it evening to evening. If you would like to do that, whoever's starting for tomorrow starts this evening. So if you start this evening when you get home, you go to the next evening. And somebody, whoever's in the next day, they start that evening and they cover the evening to evening. Either way you do it, we got to stay on track, though. No, we can't switch from evening to morning. Whatever it starts, it's got to finish through. It won't cover the days properly. Okay? So whoever's on Monday, for Monday fasting, you start this evening, meaning you'll miss whatever snack you would have had before you went to bed. So during your sleep counts through the next evening, gives you your whole day of fasting and praying. We need to be covered because we're traveling at a time that is at high risk because of what's going on around the world and the country. And that we know that. But how many know God is able to keep us and protect us? But we don't want to be, we're not silly enough to think that we don't need people praying and fasting. That's why I'm asking you to participate and cover us in prayer. So if you're not on the list, if you see other people's name on the list, that's fine. Minimum of two people on each day. If it's three or four, it doesn't matter. If you want to do it twice, you can do it as many times as you want. But we need a minimum of two people. And the reason why is if we have somebody that something happens that they're not able to cover their day, we have more of a chance that it didn't happen to two people. You understand? So we don't want to take that. We want to make sure somebody is praying and fasting for every day that we're going. So that's 21 days. 21 days of praying and fasting. By the time you spread it around to everybody, and you might get one turn to do it for sure. And if you want to do it multiple days, that's up to you. But please, if you haven't signed up to do that, the calendar is on the board back there. Put your name in a spot and you remember your day. You won't be getting a call. You won't be reminded. So take your phone, take a snapshot on the calendar. It's right there. Get a picture of it. And then you have a copy. If you can't, don't do that. You can ask someone. They can make a copy for you. They're trying to do it. As a matter of fact, they're trying to transfer it to get a copy. So if you need a copy so you can put it on your refrigerator, you'll have it. But if you can't get it in enough time, you can always take a picture of it on the board, okay? Please don't forget. Please remember that these are important things. Two things for sure is important. Remember your praying and fasting day. Who wants to, I don't know who's, but why don't we just pick evening to evening? Would that be fine with everybody? It's easier on the person fasting. It's easier because you're starting that evening. You're going through the night. So you wake up in the morning. Then you have to the next evening. So that's going to really be the day that you really might feel it. But you'll be okay. Amen? So we do evening to evening. Second thing, the eighth day. Remember the eighth day. That's very important. Very important time. That we're all thinking about that eighth day to make sure that we realize it's a high Sabbath, the high Sabbath. And that's posted on the board in the back also, so you'll see that time, okay? So let's remember that. Well, y'all come up. We're going to get you, Brother Troy.